Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. And as I mentioned, I've been looking forward to this conversation. If you're on hold, hang in. I've got time on the back end for phone calls. But we are joined right now by a New York legend, a basketball legend. He played at LaSalle Academy, Providence College. He is currently an assistant with the Dallas Mavericks. My guest is God Shamgod. God, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Man,
thanks
I'm great.
Having me on the show.
It is so good to have you on the show. Listen, there's so many things I want to talk to you about, but why don't we start first with New York? You grew up playing basketball in New York. What is the New York basketball mentality and mindset? What's it take to be successful there?
I mean, it just takes being ultra-competitive because, you know, everybody's competitive in New York. I don't care if you play basketball, if you rap, if you're in the business world, you know, the street guy thinks he's better than the professional guy. And, of course, the professional guy thinks he's better than everybody because he, in his mind, he made it. You know, he made a career out of it, and he's making money from it. So, automatically, he thinks he's better than the street guy. But the street guy, you know, he works hard, too. And everything is just ultra-competitive. Everybody's an alpha male when you come in from New York. And I think that's the kind of rap that we have gotten since I've been in middle school to when I used to go to camps like Five Star or ABCD camp, like the All-American camp. They always be like, oh, the New York guys always think, you know, they're in charge of everything and things like that. So it's just a habit. I mean, coming from New York, everything is just so competitive.
Got Sham Guy joining us. That's how it was. You guys did run things back in the day in New York. Like, you came up in a golden era for point guards in New York. We're talking about Stephon Marbury, Rafer Alston, Ed Cota, and more. What were the battles like back in the day when you represented yourself in your borough?
I mean, it was great because, you know, every borough have different styles. You know, I was blessed to be born in Brooklyn but raised in Harlem, so I had a combination of styles and things like that. And, you know, just playing against Stephon Marbury growing up, which, you know, is a great friend of mine, you know, whether it was Kareem Reed, Rafer Alston, Ed Cota, you know, Shaheem Holloway, you know, more so you growing up, like, most of the times the guys that you're competing against is your friends, so most of it is like bragging. Like, I played on the team with Rafer and AAU. Of course, me and Stephon Marbury played in AAU together. Me and Shaheem Holloway played together in AAU. So, you know, it's just more about just repping yourself and repping your barrel and just going out there, just trying to be the best you can be at any given time and things like that. And even though...
We're talking to God Shamgod. I want to pick that up and see if I can clear up that line. This is too good. This conversation is way too good. As I mentioned, a New York legend, a basketball legend, played at LaSalle Academy, played his college ball at Providence College. He is currently a Dallas Mavericks assistant, and he literally is a global icon for his impact on the game, the way he teaches the game, the way people emulate his game, his legendary handle. There really is nobody quite like him, and I want to make sure we go back there. God, sorry about that. I want to make sure we had a good, clean line. But you were talking about coming up in New York. Let me ask you one thing also. I mean, when we mentioned LaSalle, that was an era when, as you point out, New York ran everything, and New York players always did it. You and Ron Artest, in fact, were teammates at LaSalle. What were those days like?
I mean, it was good because, like, when Ron first got there, you know, I was All-American and things like that. And he was up and coming, and he used to, you know, battle every day to get better and better. So then he became like a little brother to me. And, you know, once I, you know, my senior year, we was like 29-1. And then, you know, it was like me passing the torch to him. And then the next year, you know, they went undefeated, won the states and things like that. And Ron's always been like the same player he is now. Like, he's always been hard-nosed, tough defense, and just raw talent and things like that. So, like I said, coming up in New York, everything is like ultra-competitive. And then one time we played the AAU tournament in Rhode Island right before I went to Providence. And we played against Kobe Bryant and Tim Thomas and them. And this is Ron Artest first start coming alive. And he was like, no, I want to guard Kobe. I want to guard this person. So my name could be mentioned in these rankings and stuff like that. And that's just the New York side of us.
God, Sham God joining us. Great story. I want to go back to Kobe in a minute, but when you mentioned that you were a high school All-American, a McDonald's All-American, your high school coach had asked you where you wanted to be, and you said just that. I want to be a McDonald's All-American, and then you go on your grind, and you work at it. You were named a McDonald's All-American, and you played in that legendary 1995 game. That game included Marbury, Vince Carter, Ron Mercer, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, Anton Jameson, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Chauncey Billups, Tractor Trailer. I mean, dude, that is crazy. What do you remember about that game?
I remember that we were so close. You know, even and to this day, I think we had the best McDonald's All-American class ever because everybody before they became junior year in college, they all was drafted in the NBA. And I remember, you know, like I said, we from New York, and at that time, like you said, New York ran everything, and we were trendsetters. And I remember I wanted to get my ears pierced, and I went and got my ears pierced, and a whole McDonald's All-American team came with me and got their ears pierced. So if you look at the McDonald's game, you'll see all of us with Band-Aids on our ear.
Wow.
Because we all went and got our ears pierced. And the thing about that class is just how close we was, because Kevin Garnett used to come to New York and stay with me and Stephon Marbury in the summer and Chauncey Billups. And if you look at us today, we're all close friends now and things like that.
Got Sham God joining us. All right, so you mentioned Kobe. Right around that time, you were asked to teach ball handling to somebody. We'll talk about your handle in a minute. But that person that you were supposed to work with was Kobe Bryant, who was at Lower Merion. What do you remember about his game at that time? What did you teach him?
I remember, like, when I first met him, I just thought he was just a nut, that he would never pass the ball. And, you know, I was like, man, like, you know, because it was funny, because when he first came to the camp, everybody's like, man, who does God think he's Michael Jordan, man? Who the hell do you think he is? He needs to pass the ball and stuff like that. Because he walked like Michael Jordan, talked like Michael Jordan, did everything like Michael Jordan did. So and his father coached at LaSalle. And I remember I was like, you know, you being young, you don't know. I'm like, man, it would be cool for me to go to LaSalle High School and LaSalle College, you know. And then when I met his father coached at some man, we came close. And then he was like, yeah, you know, my son, he's doing all this stuff. He's like, can you teach him how to dribble? And, you know, at that point, I'm still saying in the back of my mind because I'm like this big fish, and I'm like, man, he don't even pass the ball. I'm like, I don't know. So then I'm just saying anything. I'm like, well, I'll be there like 6 o'clock in the morning. If he want to come work out, he can come work out. But it's me thinking he's not going to come. And then, of course, he shows up, and then we just built our own friendship. And, like, of course, I didn't know he was going to become Kobe Bryant. I knew he'd become great, but not Kobe Bryant. And it's funny because, like, I would never, like, even growing up, I would never tell that story. And then, like, right before he retired, he was telling the Boston Journal. He was like, because I went to the game when I was coaching at Providence. And he was like, oh, man, this is the guy that taught me how to dribble. This is the guy that taught me how to dribble. And it just, you know, it just went from there. And it just, you know, became a life of its own.
Dude, lots of guys learned lots of things from you. God, Sham God is my guest. And then you got my guy, Jamal Crawford, one of my favorites. He said, quote, a God, Sham God type handle is an elite handle. It's one of the best handles that's ever touched a basketball, end quote. So where did the handle come from? Obviously, you really worked hard at it. But how much of that is just a natural gift?
I think it's hard work, need preparation, and then it just all comes together because there was a point in my life I couldn't dribble, and that's what made me obsessed. Like, when I was in junior high school, I met Tiny Archibald, and I didn't even know who he was. And he was, like, telling me how to play. And I was like, man, who is this old guy telling me how to play? Like, he played basketball.
Tiny Archibald.
So then I went home, and I'm watching Below the Rim, and they got, like, Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson. But in the middle of the tape, it shows, like, the old time, so it shows Pistol Pete Maravich. And, of course, it shows Tiny Archibald. And I'm like, this can't be the guy that works at my school. Because, you know, when you're young, even now, you know, it's not when you're young, but even now, like, people think when you make it to the NBA, you're automatically rich. So you're not going to see somebody working in a hospital if they played in the NBA. So I'm going to school. You know, he's our gym teacher and our school coach. So I'm like, there's no way he's a Hall of Fame person. He's working in my school. And when I went back, I'm like, why didn't you tell me you played in there? He's like, oh, you young kids think you know everything. And then he sat me down, he told me, he was like, if you know how to dribble and run a team, you will always be worth something to a team. And I just took it to heart. And every day I used to dribble like 4 hours, 6 hours a day and then go play and practice the moves that I was working on. I used to practice the move in slow motion I used to get 1 pound ankle weights and put it on my wrist and just dribble and things like that. And then what happened was I used to watch video so much that I started watching it in slow motion just so I could see people's footwork and things like that. And then I had these real long arms and stuff like that. So I just put everything into me, and then it came out the way it came out.
God, Sham God joining us. You know, and then there's the move itself, the Sham God. The move is so iconic, it's been named after you. Damian Lillard talks about how he used to study it and how different it is from every other move that's out there. But legend has it that the Sham God first came about by an accident. Dude, is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was, like I said, I used to always watch film. So when I played the game against a guy named Tyson Wheeler, and he had did something similar. So I was trying to master that at first. I was trying to master that. So when I played in the Big East tournament, we played against Rutgers, and I tried to emulate what I had saw like a week ago, but I had totally messed it up. And then when I messed it up, I was watching film, and I'm like, well, me and my friend Corey Wright, one of my best friends, he's a point guard in Providence College. I'm like, man, this move right here could work too. I'm like, I know I messed up, but it looked like it could be. And then the move that I messed up, I went and practiced every night, every day against Corey Wright. He used to guard me, and I did the move over and over and over and over again. I didn't think it was going to become what it is today. And then one day I woke up, and everybody's like, oh, I'm doing the Sham God move, the Sham God move. And I'm like, what is people talking about? Like, because I did so many dribbling moves in my life. Like, when I played at Five Star, I went to Five Star All-American camp when I got MVP. And Howard, the late Howard Garfinkel, rest in peace, was like, this is the best dribbler of the 20th century. You know, he said that on TV. So it was so many dribbling moves I've done, but I never knew what move they was talking about. And then I guess because of the NCAA, and it was just on primetime TV, you know, everybody just took it and ran with it. And then it just took over life of its own. And, you know, to this day, I'm just so humbled by it because, you know, I played in the NBA for 20 games, and I'm just as famous as people that played 20 years and things like that. And it's like my whole life, people have always asked me to show them how to dribble, you know, from Chris Webber to meet me and Shaq, meet me and Chris Paul, and Chris Paul saying, you know, he looked up to me growing up and things like that. Those moments are so humbling for me.
God, Sham God joining us. I want to point out what you just said. You played 20 games in the NBA, but to your point, you're more well-known than some guys who played 20 years. In fact, it's international. I mean, Kyrie called it, quote, dangerous. Crawford called it wicked. Because you went global and you played overseas, everybody there saw the move too. So what's it like? Yeah. It's not just an NBA thing or a domestic thing. What's it like for you to see players worldwide dropping that move?
Man, I just think it's, like I said, I think it's amazing, you know, and I think it's something that I could have never dreamed of, you know, and that goes back to what you were saying about God-given talent and stuff like that. You know, all the blessings and all the accolades, you know, all the stuff I get from people is totally from God and things like that, because, like, I would never think me going to these other countries and then them seeing me dribble and things like that. You know, I've been in Dubai, and I had, tell me, I only started liking basketball because you was over here playing. Like, I used to love soccer, but until I saw you play and saw you dribble the basketball, you made me like basketball. And, you know, for me, that stuff like that is a blessing when I see people from other sports or people send me film of people doing the move, but in other sports. Like, and I'm like how can people even think of stuff like that? And, you know, for them to put it back to me is just an amazing feeling. And that means I did something right, you know, growing up and things like that. So I'm just humbled by it, and I'm just, you know, overwhelmed.
Yeah, you did. One last thought. You're with the Mavericks as an assistant now, and you focus on ball handling. What's it like to work with Luka? And when you watch him play, how bright is his future?
You know, I just think Luka's an amazing, amazing player. You know, of course, I know, I see he studies, you know, basketball from here. And just working on, you know, just working on dribbling with him, Jalen Brunson, you know, when Dennis Smith Jr. was there, Harrison Barnes and West. It's just an honor to work with these people. Even one time, you know, worked on the Sham God with Dirk, you know, a living legend and things like that. You know, those feelings and those memories I will always have in my heart. And, you know, like I said, just for them to even let me help them, you know, whether it's Chris Dunn, whether it's me working with Isaiah Thomas, like Kobe Bryant, you know, different people and things like that. Just for them to even listen to me and want to hear my story and want to you know, do things that I've done in my career, it just shows me, like I said, like I've done something right, and I'm just humbled by it.
Got one last thought. You know, we talked about New York City ball players, New York City guards, and then you mentioned, like, Jason Kidd. I talked to Gary Payton not long ago, and we talked about the kind of brand of basketball they played in Oakland, like Gary Payton, mm-hmm. Brian Shaw, Jason Kidd, J.R. Ryder, Damian Lillard. How does that mm-hmm. Oakland, like, where do you come out on the Oakland style? Is that a different style? Can you, when you look at it, can you see it and know where those guys were and where they played?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I said, I studied dribbling so much, so I can tell when somebody's from, whether they're from D.C., whether they're from Oakland, you know, whether they're from Chicago and things like that, because New York style is so different, because New York style always come with a flair. You know, it always come with, you know, growing up in New York, you always seen, you know, Jay-Z, Sean Combs and things like that. So you always seen people of high caliber doing, you know, things. You always saw fashion. You always saw style. So when you play basketball, that's what you imitated. You always wanted the crowd to be a part of it and things like that. When you see players like from Oakland, you know, they're hard-nosed, they straight to it, they get buckets, they're great players. When you see people from D.C., you know, they got a lot of stutter step crossovers, a lot of bouncing around on their toes and things like that. If you watch people from Chicago, when I was growing up, I watched Tim Hardaway, Isaiah Thomas. If you watch the way they dribble in the box. So they dribble close to their body, so everything can come directly up into the shot. If you watch people from New York, every, you know, since I came out, like, you know, my crossover is wide and things like that. And then, you know, it trickled down to, you know, AI, where AI crossover is wide, you know, wide open and things like that, and not close to the body. And that's where that flair and stuff comes in from.
That's why he's a New York legend, a basketball legend. I'm glad you mentioned Tim Hardaway. God, I used to love watching Tim Hardaway play.
Mm-hmm.
LaSalle Academy, Providence College. He is an assistant with the Dallas Mavericks. God, Sham God, my guest. I could do that for another hour. God, I appreciate you very much. That was so fun. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate you. And like I said, I'm just humbled. Like, come on, I'm on the wrong show. Like, come on, man. What could be better than that, man?
Come on, man. I'm talking to God, Sham God. It's so good, bro. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Talk soon. God, that was awesome. And I went way over, and I don't care. That was awesome. God, Sham God, if you need him. I could have done that another hour. That was so fun. All right. Short time out. Time for a sports update. Sorry, not sorry that I'm so late. You got to agree, right? I did not want that conversation with God, Sham God to end. This email says, War God, Sham God. War 90s point guards. No better handles on the planet than God Almighty. For sure. 90s point guards. Alvy and I. And Alvy was a great high school point guard. We were just reminiscing about some of the best of the 90s. 90s point guards. At Sneakers to Suits tweets, the God Sham God convo on Jim Rome is captivating. East Bay Troy. Real Dub fans love Hardaway and Run TMC days. Man, Timmy Hardaway was so incredible. In his prime, he was absolutely amazing. I loved him. One of my favorites ever. Denlesks tweets, God Sham God. Had some good moves, but you should have seen me mop up the court in my heyday. Signed, Vince ShamWow.
Are you following me, camera guy?